Good morning, church. Today's scripture reading is Psalms 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. The scriptures are as relevant today as they were back then.
Amen. Thank you, David. I like that man. He's a good one. So, good morning. It's great to be with you all this morning. Let me tell you where we are. This is a little bit of an awkward Sunday for me. It's a standalone week, all right? So we just got out of King Jesus. Great series. A lot of challenge. Feel like I kind of poked and prodded and nudged quite a bit. And so today what we're doing is we're kind of taking a step back. The staff and I have been in Psalm 23 the past 3 weeks. And about every 2 years or so, I'd really like for us as a congregation to sit in Psalm 23 because it's such a foundational psalm to the life of a Christian. In fact, Charles Spurgeon said that this is the pearl of all the psalms, and it's so true. It's so foundational for us to continue to marinate in Psalm 23. So let me just go ahead and read the passage. We'll pray, and then we'll break it down. All right? Break it down. There you go. Break down the passage. All right? No dancing here. So, verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this beautiful, wonderful psalm. I pray today that it will be your word spoken through me. Holy Spirit, saturate this place. If there's conviction needed, I pray to just be a congregation that leans in to you. And if there's encouragement and affirmation that's needed and an experience of your character, I pray that you would be so gracious to provide all those things to us today. We pray that you would get the praise and the honor and the glory that you deserve in the process. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, verse 1. "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." Let's analyze each of these words here, all right? It starts with "the," as in there's only one. And then "Lord," as in Yahweh, the self-existent, relational God. And then this word is really important, all right? That means this is current. It's right now. It's not just one day he's our shepherd. It's right now he's our shepherd. And then "my," don't miss that, "my shepherd," as in this is a personal relationship. He's mine. I'm his. He's my shepherd. And that word "shepherd" is foundational because why? It's an admission of sorts, isn't it? It's a humble admission that we're not shepherds. We don't really know the way to the green pastures or the quiet waters. We know that we need to be like sheep, humble and following after our shepherd. That's a huge admission to say that. So many people today say that the Lord is their shepherd. The problem is, we'll say things like, "The Lord is my shepherd, but I kind of just do what I want." Or, "The Lord is my shepherd, but I just worry for hours and hours and hours per day." Or, "The Lord is my shepherd, but I spend many hours on Instagram comparing myself to other people." Or, "The Lord is my shepherd, but I just fixate on my bitterness or my unforgiveness." Here's the thing. Jesus does not lead us into the land of self-loathing. He doesn't lead us into the places that we've been in the past of our flesh. He leads us into this whole new area. And if we're following after him, only then can we proclaim that we lack nothing. See, Jesus wants to get us out of the driver's seat. And not only does he want to get us out of the driver's seat, he wants us to be the kind of passenger that doesn't try to direct the driver. You ever been in a car, and don't bring any names up, all right? But you ever been driving and somebody, I see couples looking at each other right now. But you ever driving and somebody's like, "Ooh, that car is pretty close there." Or, "Oh, look, over there, why don't we stop over there, TJ Maxx, you know, or whatever." And they're just trying to control things, even though they're not driving. God wants us to just let him drive. Wherever it is he's taking us, we got to know that we don't know the way to the green pastures, the quiet waters. So just let him take us and not think that we know better in some way. And by the way, We live in such a culture today that thinks it knows the way to the green pastures or the quiet waters. But how's that working out for us, really? I mean, I don't mean to be rude about our generation, but we are the most isolated, depressed, anxious generation on record. And at the same time, we think we've got things figured out. That's the point. We don't know the way. The way into lack is simply following after the shepherd. I go where he goes. He guides me. I can't get there on my own. I gotta have him. I just follow after the shepherd. I mean, at the end of the day, we gotta realize we really don't know squat, do we? I mean, we're sheep. Sheep aren't very smart. All right, we gotta understand that. We don't know. What we do is we go kicking and screaming into different areas all the time in ways that are just not good for us. See, the sheep never needs to know the way. It's good enough for the sheep that the shepherd knows the way. All we do is follow after the shepherd, and then alone can we say we lack nothing. A couple years back, I told you the story of Dr. Roland Taylor. He's a Christian martyr from the 1500s, and he had the audacity, based on the scriptures, to speak truth to power. And power doesn't like when their power is threatened in some way, and so the powers at play, the bishop, puts him to death, says, look, now you have to die because you know who I am, so to speak. And so Dr. Taylor's going to his death, and the crowd, as he's going to his death, chants for him to have the opportunity to say goodbye to his wife, and that interaction is recorded right here. It says, after they had prayed, he rose up and kissed his wife, shook her by the hand, and said, farewell, my dear wife, be of good comfort, for I am quiet in my conscience. God shall stir up a father for my children. Now, that's total sufficiency in the shepherd right there. I mean, how many times, men, do we think we've got to just make sure everything's in order for our family, for the people we care about? We got to make sure to be here and make things happen. But what he did was he was so free of that. He said, God shall take care of my children. He'll stir up a father for my children. Even in that worst case scenario of death, God's got us taken care of. Why? Because he's our shepherd. God shall stir up a pastor for this church. God shall stir up a leader of your business. God shall take care of it. Why? He's our shepherd. We don't do it. He does it. And besides, if we have the mentality that it all rides on us, we're already not leaving behind a legacy of the Lord being our shepherd. He's the one who guides us. We've got to know that. Charles Spurgeon once said, we have all things in abound, not because I have a good store of money in the bank, not because I have skill and wit with which to win my bread, but because, very simply, the Lord is my shepherd. All that matters. The rest of the psalm does not come to shape unless the Lord is your shepherd. Then and only then can you say confidently, I lack nothing. Verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. Again, he does it. He makes me. He leads me. He refreshes my soul. Now, green pastures here, what we're likely talking about are these little patches of grass on the journey that what the shepherd would typically do is he would enclose the sheep into this little patch area, and it would be enough to where they could eat and have their fill and also lay down in this grass. So oftentimes what they would do, if you didn't enclose them, they would run off. Why? Because sheep don't really know what's best for them, do they? So they'll run off, they'll go berserk, they'll act crazy, and what he's doing here, the shepherd, is making them lie down. He's like, here's your fill, here's your option, lie down and rest, because that's what's best for you. Has God ever made you lie down and rest? Parents, you've been there with kids, they get to a certain age and they realize, oh, I could just get out of my bed. And what does a good parent do? You got to get back in the bed. Your option right now is to go to sleep. That's it. Because if you don't, then what happens is, and they know they can play and they can do all the things, then what happens is they don't sleep, and then the next day they get cranky about things they never otherwise would have gotten cranky about. Why? Because they didn't rest. A good parent goes, kid, You got to sleep, and that's your only option right now. Rest so that joy and that peace and that satisfaction will return. That's what God does for us, and we shouldn't resist whenever He makes us lie down. Let Him keep leading. He leads me to green pastures. He leads me to quiet waters, and ultimately, He restores my soul. He takes care of not just my physical needs, but the deep, longing needs of my soul. He takes care of it if we just follow after the shepherd. He guides me along the right paths for His namesake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. If I'm in tune with my shepherd, if I'm engaged with Him, if I'm following after Him, I never have to wonder whether or not I'm on the right path. Am I on the right path? Well, did God lead me there? Then yes, I'm on the right path. He leads me there. All we got to do, we don't have to wonder, are we on the right path? We just have to follow after our shepherd. Now, going back to verse 4, this is the ultimate evidence that verse 1 is true. If we can walk through the darkest valley and fear no evil, that's the ultimate demonstration of no lack. See, if we fear anything, we can't say we lack nothing. But here's what's so great. We don't need fear if the Lord is our shepherd. Think about the darkest valley for a second. Think about just those two words, dark and valley. That word valley, you don't want to be caught in a valley in a fight because you're in a vulnerable position. You're taught never give up the higher ground, right? So you're already vulnerable. But when it's completely dark and you can't see your hand in front of your face, you're in a rough spot, right? So of course you have to fear if you're in the darkest valley. But here's the thing for the Christian. If the Lord is our shepherd and He is that light of the world, then whenever you encounter the darkest valley, it's never going to be completely dark again in your whole life. Doesn't matter what it is. And some in this congregation, I know you've been through a lot. But the reality is you never encounter a completely dark valley again because you have the light from your shepherd. John 8:12 says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows Me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Think about that. Never in your life again will there be complete darkness if the Lord is your shepherd, no matter what it is you're going through. Why? Because His rod, His staff, they comfort me. I know everything's going to be okay because the Lord is my shepherd. Now, we think David wrote this psalm. We don't know for sure, but there are some insights as to why we think that. If you go back to the story of Goliath, when all the Israelites, man, they're just praising this giant. Oh, he's too big. He's too strong. There's nothing we can do. We're just sitting here quivering in fear. And what does David do? He goes up and he goes, don't lose heart on account of this Philistine. He goes, you come at me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come at you in the name of the Lord, who you defied. I mean, that's praising God in the valley. We got two options in the valley, in the dark valley. We can keep praising the dark valley, or we can praise our shepherd in the valley. David had such a habit of praising the shepherd that when that dark valley came, he continued to praise the shepherd. And he knew everything was going to be okay at the end of the day. It's not that he doesn't acknowledge the giant. But we only have so much praise in us, and he reserves that praise for God. Now, another thing he doesn't do is praise his own strength here. All his praise is reserved for the shepherd. I've told you guys before, sometimes I get caught in this realm of like waking up in the morning, and I'm like, God, I'm ready to punch the devil in the face. If you want to storm hell today, let's go. I'll grab a demon or two, and I'll just start hitting them. You know, I just get fired up, right? Here's the problem. Sheep don't really know how to fight. Sheep are pretty weak and dumb, all right? It's the sufficiency of the shepherd. When we start praising our own abilities, we look like fools. Why? Because we're in a dark valley. We can't even see where we're going. Reminds me of sometimes the girls and I will get on the trampoline and play this game. I don't like it. They love it. I don't like it very much, but one of you who's it has to close your eyes and tag somebody else on the trampoline, and you just look like a fool doing it because you can't see. So you're just like waving your hands around, like trying not to run into the net and things and trying to get somebody. That's what we look like when we start praising our own abilities, when we're wandering around in darkness without the light of our shepherd. David in this psalm, this is so critical. David in this psalm doesn't praise the dark valley, doesn't praise the giant, doesn't praise the enemy, doesn't praise himself. All his praise goes to God. We cannot praise the giant in front of us. Our praise goes to God and God alone. So important. Verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Not only can I survive in the darkest valley, man, I can eat. I'm solidified in my belief in my shepherd because I praised him so much that I could just eat. The situation isn't better. There's no clarity. I'm not maybe seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, but I am seeing the light from my shepherd. Always have light. So we can just eat, man. We can feast. And by the way, only the Christian can really do that. Anybody ever looked at you really strange when you were just totally at peace, even though the circumstance isn't great? Only the Christian can do that. Oh, my job's at risk. All right, I'll feast. The Lord is my shepherd. Or I get that diagnosis and I'm like, man, this isn't ideal, but I'm still going to feast. I'm still going to eat in the presence of God. Only the Christian can do that. Only the person who says, the Lord is my shepherd. That's the only person that can truly do that in the midst of the dark valley. I think I told you guys before, I don't know, some things run together. I don't know what's conversation and what I've shared from stage and all that, but I think I shared with you guys the way Morgan sleeps at night. She's like, she got earplugs, she's got the blindfold, she's got like 65 blankets on her, and she doesn't wake up for nothing. I mean, I'll be like, Morgan, did you hear that storm last night? And she's like, what? What are you talking about? You know, Morgan, the neighbors were blaring, like playing fireworks and doing all the different things. Did you hear that? No, no. The girls were like, they had like an air horn and they put it in your ear. Did you hear that last night? She's like, no, I didn't hear nothing last night. So finally, I ask her, Morgan, what if somebody just comes in here and like steals everything? What are you going to do? And she's like, oh, I fully trust that if somebody comes in, you'll just take care of it. I'm like, all right, sounds good. Don't you know that God is fully taking care of it? We're going to be all right. Even in the presence of the biggest challenges, the hardest things, we are perfectly safe in the kingdom of God forever and for all time. It doesn't even matter. We are perfectly safe. And we can feast in his presence always. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Because I don't have to fear or worry. I can live in total security and freedom as I just ruminate on the sufficiency of the shepherd, that I just look at him with awe and wonder, and I receive this love of the shepherd to the point where my cup, it just runs over into the lives of other people around me. I live with this abundance, not scarcity. I have so much to give because my shepherd has given me everything. And in fact, and maybe it's just a dream of mine, but I just think it'd be a great place for us to get to, that our cup overflows to our enemies. And we say, would you like a drink too? Would you like to sit at the table too? Because I don't have to hold grudges anymore in the kingdom of God. I'm totally free of that. And I want you to experience this abundance and this blessing too. And I got to say, guys, we live in such a petty culture today. I mean, somebody said something to you in 2019 that you didn't like and you just hold on to it. Or this person didn't say, hey, to me in the hallway, I'm done with them. I'm canceling them. It's absurd. It's so counter to the life that Jesus had for us. We're not even to take that stuff into account. I mean, think about it. Jesus puts Simon the Zealot and Matthew the tax collector in the same room. And he says, as I've loved you, love one another. This is how people will know. I mean, isn't that absurd? I mean, think about that. Matthew the tax collector, he's a dude who is cheating the Jewish people out of money in favor of Rome. While Simon the Zealot is essentially a terrorist who says, I refuse to ever submit to Rome. And Jesus puts them in the same room and says, love each other. I just think so often we can be petty. And why? Because our cup's not overflowing. Because we haven't proclaimed the Lord as our shepherd. We don't go where he goes. We don't experience the love and affections of Jesus, so we just be petty. When Jesus wants us to overflow into the lives of other people, does your cup overflow because you're so in tune with the presence of your shepherd. Verse 6, surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, the place you and I live is not a physical address so much. We are more souls with bodies than we are bodies with souls. The place we live is in the kingdom of God. We dwell in His house now. We operate our lives from this place now. I just want to bring this full circle. Worship team, you guys can come back up. He says, goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. One thing you got to know here is David very much is being followed by enemies in this, likely. One of the big fears I had growing up was that somebody was always following me. Am I alone on that? There's other people? Okay, there's some other people nodding their heads. Well, maybe you were nodding your head that I'm alone. I don't know. I'll have to ask you later. But like running up the stairs, I just kind of look behind me. Is anybody following me? I get into a car, I check the back seat, you know, just is anybody following me? At a certain point in my life, I realized that God is the one who is always following me with His hand on my back all my life. See, here's the thing. This is so critical. God is leading the way as our shepherd in front. He's beside me in the challenges and in the pain. And He's also following after me. So I have full protection everywhere I go if the Lord is my shepherd. You don't have to worry about where you're going because He's leading you. You don't have to fear the difficult, painful challenge because He's beside you. And you don't have to worry about what is coming because He's got you covered from the back too. We are fully protected on all sides. We are hemmed in and secure if the Lord is my shepherd. And that's why I'll continue to say over and over and over again, we are perfectly safe living our lives in the kingdom of God. David says in Psalm 139, verse 5, he says, you hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. The Lord is always closer than any enemy could be because He's got His hand on our back. John 10 says, I give them life, and ain't nobody going to snatch them out of my hand. That's the East Tennessee translation. Ain't nobody going to snatch them out of my hand. Don't you know that if the Lord is your shepherd, and the enemy comes and he says, don't you know trouble's coming? You can say, yeah, but I don't have any lack because the Lord is my shepherd and I am hemmed in to Him. Or even the things that we fear most, that darkest valley, death itself, we can go, I'm perfectly safe in the presence of my shepherd forever and for all time. Guys, we don't have to fear. We truly can live without fear if the Lord is our shepherd. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this reality of this beautiful psalm. I pray, would you speak to us? Would you help us to live into this reality? Father, we thank you for your love and your grace. Thank you that even in the midst of the most trying times, we can say, we dwell in your house. We can feast in the presence of the most difficult challenge. And perhaps, maybe even those who have been worse to us, we can say, my cup overflows so much that I just want to pour in even to my enemies. Father, would you just make that a radical reality at Grace Meadows Church? We love you so very much. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, let's worship.